Well, you all ready for the word? And there's a passage that we've been building on. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes on and says, for by faith the elders obtain a good report. And then we've been looking, and it goes on and says that for the things that we see were not made by things which do appear. Blows me away, but it's awesome. And then it says, list all these great prayer warriors as well as faith warriors and men and women of God. And at the end of the passage, actually beginning at Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, therefore, since we're compassed or surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares or beset us, if you are a King James person. And it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's a picture of people that have run the race, and they're on the sidelines cheering us on, saying, we've run our race, but now I want you to run your race. Don't let go, because like Josh said, never let go, never let go. You're too close now. You ever been in a race and you were tempted to quit? Those of you that run. But you were just there and you said, I can't stop now because, you know, we're too close to give up now. And can I let you know, if you started yesterday, folks, you're too close to give up. If you started this morning, you're too close to give up now. Can I just give God a praise right now if you believe that? So we'll be looking from the perspective of Mary today. Why Mary? Because Mary was a teenager. And sometimes people forget because, you know, they see her looking old with a baby. But the Bible lets us know, and in study and many commentaries, let us know she was probably between 14 and 16 years old. And I want you to know that I don't care what your age is, God can use you. If he used Mary, believe me, he can use you today. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you, God, for your presence is here today. And we appreciate you. Thank you for everybody that has come today to receive from you. Thank you for the word that you've already given. May you continue to pour into us, and may we hear your voice, and not only hear, but may we obey. And Father, we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Give God your best praise right now. He's a good God. I mean a good God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. And I know some of you all don't know too much about the Pentecostal movement. On occasions, we would hit one of the songs, God is a good God. And everybody would respond, yes, he is. And we ain't going to take it there right now. But when I think about how good God's been to me, man, it's God is a good God. Don't. We gotta preach today. But what I'm saying, folks, is that he is a good God. And I can attest to the fact that he's made a way when I didn't see a way. And the Bible says that he is not only the author of our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. He'll not only start things out on the inside of you, but guarantee you that if he starts off with something inside of you, he knows how to complete everything he started. Can I get a witness in this house? Somebody give him a praise today. He's that kind of good God. He really is. So can I let you know that Mary had an experience with God, and I chose her to pull her out of the faith of walkers, if you will, that hall of fame. Why? Because if anybody had to walk by faith, Mary did. When I see her and I see her life, many think that she was calm, cool, and collective, but she was a frightened teenager. Why do you say that? What teen, after being visited by an angel, would not be shook up? He said, you're going to be pregnant. And I know you're not, she's, well, wait a minute, God, I ain't married yet. That's okay, you're still going to be pregnant. And guess what? What's in you is going to be God, too. Can you imagine that teenager saying, oh, my goodness, why me? Leave me alone, God. Why are you messing with me? But she didn't go there. The Bible says that there was an angel that came to her, and I want to read this passage from the book of Luke 1 and 26, and they probably have it on the screen. It simply says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent, even when you look here, God's at work at this. Gabriel, 6 months ago, just visited Elizabeth and said she was going to have a child in her old age. Now, God sent, what did I say? God sent an angel to Gabriel, to Nazareth, the village of Galilee. Now, understand, that's where I get my first point. Anytime God sends you a message, you need to believe it. Can I say it one more time? When God sends you a message, what is your responsibility? It's not to try to figure it out, to try to work it out. If God sends you a message, you say, okay, God, I'm going to believe it. And you'll be better off that way, because the truth be known, if God, or when God sends you a message, you know, he knows more than you know. And he has the resources to take you where you need to go. Can I get a good amen in this house? So the scripture says that he comes to her, to a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, you know, who was a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared unto her, and he has something to say to her. And he says to her, he says, greetings, or rejoice, favored woman. Can you imagine being minding your own business, and God is in heaven thinking about you? Thinking about how he can use you. Can I let you know the scripture says, are great are his thoughts toward you? You need to hear that over and over again, because the world tells you that you're no good, you can never accomplish anything, but God is in heaven. He says, great are his thoughts toward you. His thoughts toward you are so amazing. They're more than the very grains of sand that's on the sea. His thoughts toward you are blessings, and he thought that even when you was in trouble, he sent forth his best from heaven. And Jesus says, prepare me a body. I'll go down and take care of men. Why? Because he loved you that much. I don't care what the enemy says, who says about the negative, but God loves you, and you need to know that for sure. Can I get a good amen in this house? So God is thinking about Mary, and the Bible says that he found favor with her, and he said, angel, go talk to Mary. Mary's my girl, go talk to her. I know she's a teen, but there's something about Mary that I want to utilize. And what he says to her is, greetings, favorite woman. What did I say? When God sends a message about you, what do you do? Believe. I might not feel favored, but what do I do? Believe. I'm going to believe what God's word says about me. Are you with me today? Yeah. I don't feel favored. In fact, people told me I wasn't favored. Told me I was like Charlie Brown. And even, I mean, you know, Charlie, y'all don't know Charlie Brown. Every time he went trick-or-treating in Hollywood, he always got a rock. He said, what'd you get, Charlie Brown? A rock. Some people think that they are like Murphy's Law. What is Murphy's Law? If anything it goes wrong, it can go wrong. But we rebuke that whole thing. Can we get a witness? You know, the thing about it is, I know I'm favorite because, even when conception took place, and this is not in my notes, but when all the things was happening, most of them didn't connect, if I can just be real loose. Y'all, I need to be more clear. Moving on. But in fact, they said there's millions of sperm seeds that go forth. But only one connects, or maybe two if it's a twins. Can I let you know that for you to even be here is a miracle? You're one out of millions. Can I get a witness in this house? Shout it with me. I'm one in a million. Now you got to act like you believe it too. Walk around like you're one in a million. Talk like you're one in a million. Thank you, Jesus. So the angel that God sent to Mary says to Mary, he says, Mary, greetings, favored woman. In other words, God has favored you from heaven. It says, the Lord is with you. Can I let you know, when you hear that kind of talk, it makes you want to just say, God, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for favoring me. And it wasn't because she did anything, because a lot of us try to do things to make someone favor us. Sometimes God just loves you because. Because if it had to be based upon my merit, I would have missed out. Can I get a witness? If it had been based upon how many times I did right, based upon how many times I did wrong, I would have been messed up. But thank you, God, for loving me when I was unlovable. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And I have to remind myself of that. Somebody give God one more shout in this house. Thank you, God. So when God sends you a message, believe it. And sometimes he'll send you a message through his word. You know, and that means the Bible. Somebody say the Bible. I don't know if we still buy Bibles today, but at any rate, you can find it on your phone, your iPad, your computer. But whatever it is, whatever Bible you use, I want you to know that it's important that you read his word, because every time I read his word, it seems like he's talking to me. Am I by myself? When I open the book of Genesis, he's talking to me. When I open the book of Galatians, he's talking. When I open the book of Revelation, he's talking to me, like specifically. Every day I open the scripture, he's talking to me. So if you want to hear from God and you haven't heard from him lately, open your Bible. It's getting quiet and I don't want to read my Bible section. I want you to, if you want a word from God, what do you need to do? You don't have to stand in front of a big line and wait for people to talk to you. Now, that's okay, but the truth be known is if you need a word from God, you can get a word yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other way that God sends messages to us is that through his Holy Spirit. He sends message or speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. How many of you all know that his Holy Spirit dwells within us? So therefore, we can just go before God. And sometimes, even today, while we were worshiping and giving God praise, the Holy Spirit was speaking to some of us even then. Are you with me today? You know, he was speaking to me, you know, when they were talking the song, almost every song, on the song Never Let Go, you know, because you're too close now, man, that's a word. That's a word you need to recognize. And some of you all are right on the edge and you're getting ready to go into your promised land, your good place. And you can't stop now. You can't start looking behind you. No. You've come too far. The same way when it comes to even the earlier song, it said, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, breathe on us. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to speak in you. Something registers on the inside of you. And he begins to speak to you. Hallelujah. And then finally, he speaks to us. Sometimes God sends a message to us through his messengers. And today, we had someone even share a message that this is what God is speaking. So when that message comes, he uses, and if I had to put a sidebar here, I would say he speaks to us through people. Somebody say people. People. Not everybody, because everybody ain't on. Does that make sense? Some people are off, put it like that. Yeah. But there are some people that they have a word from God, and the angels had a word from God, and there are people that God puts in your life that they have words from God. Those people that love you, care about you, and are concerned about your well-being, and they want to give you a word from the Lord. And that's okay, but God is still, he speaks, and when God speaks, and you know when he's speaking because it registers with you. It takes you outside of your comfort zone. It takes you and takes you to a place saying, God, I know this is you, and you have that peace about it, even though sometimes you don't want to do it, but yet and still you know it's God. Anybody been in that place? Somebody may be in that place right now. But can I let you know, when God sends a message to you, you need to believe it. But not only do you need to believe it, you need to recognize that when you yield to it, you're going to be better off yielding to God than doing your own thing. Can I get a good amen in this house? Come on, bless him real good. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. So the other thing that I get out of this is what the Lord spoke through Gabriel. He said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And then the 28th verse says, blessed are you among women. And after she heard that, you know, your mind begins to think. You begin to say, you know, why me? I got things to do. I don't understand God, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to recognize when God sees us, he sees potential that we don't see. And here's what the important part about this is, that when God sends a message to you, believe it, but when it comes, don't miss your faith in God opportunity. Because these times come, and it's up to us to either embrace what God says about us or reject what God says about us. And the enemy would like you to reject what God says about you. For example, the Bible says the angel says Gabriel says to Mary, says, blessed are you, highly favored one. She can either say, I'm blessed, or she can just negate what God has said and say, no, I'm not blessed. Look at my situation. You've got to recognize when that opportunity comes for you to embrace what God says about you, man, you by faith say, I'm not missing this opportunity. Are you with me today? Amen. And oftentimes we miss out because, you know, we have a lot of excuses. And one of our excuses, especially today, because we're dealing with young people, is this: you are not too young. We say, I'm too young, but can I let you know, say it with me, I'm not too young. Say it in the young people section, this time all over the building. I am what? I'm not too young. Mary was between 14 and 16 years old. And some of you old people, you can say it too, you're not too old, and you're not too young, you're not too old. You just right, wherever you are. Can I get a witness in the house? So I just want to let you know, you are not too young. I said it loud for a reason. I remember the first young man when we were growing up that made a commitment to God, knew that a calling of God was on his life at a young age. His name was Timothy. Ended up being the best man at my wedding, but it was just something about someone being totally focused and committed to God at a young age. He was a teenager. And a lot of us were still wayward, doing our own thing and stuff. He says, nope, I'm not doing that. God's hand is upon my life. He's pastoring today. He says, you know, God's hand is upon my life. I'm not yielding to the things of the world. Even at a young age, I'm committed to God. I mean, it's amazing to grasp. You don't have to be old before you say yes to God. Is anybody in the house? You don't have to be old before you. Now, again, I wanted to wait till I got the running out of my system. You know, I wanted to sin a little bit longer. Hallelujah. I'm just being truthful because I wasn't ready to get saved yet. I just, you know, and it wasn't until I was later. But I wish I had said yes to God's will earlier. Are you with me today? Any of you all like me? I know y'all not going to say, I used to like the streets. I used to like to do dirt. Hallelujah. But you are not too young. You're not too young. Another thing is that you're not too dirty. I don't care what you've done, how many times you've done it. The enemy will try to tell you, you're too dirty, you're not worthy. But I like that song. I wrote some of the words down. You're never too dirty that he can't make you worthy. He washed you in mercy. I am clean. And when I think about what God has done, it's not about what I've done, how much I've messed up, but it's about what God did through Jesus Christ to clean me up and make me ready to do the very work that he's called me to do. Somebody give him praise. You're not too young and you are not too dirty. How many of you all fight with that whole thing of guilt and condemnation? Am I by myself? It's all three of us. Hallelujah. Three of us. Man, I struggle with condemnation sometimes. And the enemy will tell you, well, you didn't do this. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't fast enough. You didn't read your Bible enough. Therefore, you can't be used by God. Can I let you know the devil is a liar? Yes. I don't care how much you fast, how much you pray, how much you read your Bible. The enemy will still tell you that you're still not good enough. But by Jesus Christ, I am good enough. Because it's Christ on the inside of me that's the hope of glory. Somebody give him a real good praise. He is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I'm not too young. I'm not too dirty. I'm going to give one more thing that sometimes hinders us and causes us to miss the very plan and purpose of God. You know, sometimes if we know we're not too young, we're not too dirty, we'll get too busy. So I did jump one. So let's deal with this one before I go back to too busy. First of all, you're not too inexperienced. Well, I wrote that in there because a lot of people say, well, you've got to have this degree, that degree. You've got to be an elder for this long. You've got to have all this going on. You've got to be in seminary. But how many know that's not God's will? Not always, not for everybody. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you know, how much experience did Mary have? How do you get to be experienced at being the mother of God? Really? How do you, okay, well, we're gonna take a vote and see if she's got enough experience. No, God says you're favored. That's why, folks, you don't have to add up in the eyes of people. When God calls you're favored regardless of what anybody says about you. And they can't do nothing about it. Well, I feel a praise coming on right now. Hallelujah. Some folks want to say, well, he didn't do that right, and he and scratched him out, and he doesn't have this experience. That's why when we get someone that will ultimately, I don't know when it's going to be, to replace us at some point, because I'm not going to be here forever. But my thing is that we cannot see things how man sees things. Can I preach today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because man only looks at the outward. Man looks at the degrees, but God says, no, I look at their heart, and there's something about what's going on the inside of them that I want to use for my glory. Right. Don't forget when he told David that, and David said something so profound. He says this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why would he say uncircumcised? What does circumcision have to do with it? Because circumcision says I'm in covenant relationship with God, and as long as God is with me, it makes no difference how big the giant is, because he has to fall, because he's not in covenant with my God, but I'm in covenant, and I walk in that very power. Somebody give God glory in this house. Thank you, God. You are not too inexperienced to say yes to God. And then this last one, finally, I've made this one last for a reason. I was writing it, you know, whenever. And it says, we get too busy. Why do we miss God? Because we too busy. Somebody shout at him, too busy. That's why I knew that the word today, you know, was definitely pertinent to us. Because you can miss out on your faith opportunity because you're too busy. For example, God says, I want you to witness to this particular person. I want you to share your faith. And God, I ain't got time for that right now. Ain't nobody got time for that. I got to go to the mall. I ain't got time for that right now. God, I gotta go. I'm on my way somewhere. We're getting ready to kick it. You know, but my thing about it is that when God speaks to you, you don't think Mary had a life? Can you imagine someone coming into a teenager's life and says, oh, by the way, Mary, here's an angel coming up. Okay, what you want? I want you to be used by God. And she's already shaken. She's frightened. And she's not only is she a frightened teenager, but she's soon to be a frightened pregnant teenager. Can you imagine? That seems like an awful big, not demand, but request of God for you to slow your busy schedule down and say, give him time. But actually not. Isn't he the one that gave you life in the first place? Isn't he the one that gave you strength? Isn't he the one that opened doors for you, made ways for you? Isn't he the one that gave you the job that now you're too busy for him to even deal with? Isn't he the one that gave you the car that now you won't even let take you to church? I'm just saying, sometimes we get too busy. And we say like, I forget, what's that woman's name? Ain't nobody got time for that. Jesus? Ain't nobody got time for that. So you got time to pray? Lord, ain't nobody got time for that. I want you to come worship me today, you know, as a collective body at church. Lord, ain't nobody got time for that. What about getting your word studied? Ain't nobody got time for that, Jesus. Your friends are dying and going to hell. Won't you witness to them? Share your faith. Ain't nobody got time for that. Can I let you know that Mary had to stop her busyness and focus her energies on what God wanted her to focus on? And it's important, my friends, to slow your roll long enough to hear what the Lord has to say to you. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Don't miss your God opportunity. So what happens in the book of Luke, the Bible says that in the midst of what they were doing, the angel told her that God has found favor with you. And she began to wonder, how is this going to happen? And it's important for us, when God begins to speak to us, is to not to try to find out all the details right then, but yield and submit ourselves unto him. You know, because, you know, what they told her is Luke 1:30. It says this. It says, don't be afraid. That's one of the first things. Fear stops us from moving forth with what God wants us to do. Fear will make you paralyze you. So you can't allow fear to be the very thing that holds you back from what God wants you to do. Are you with me today? So the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. Why did he tell her that? Because she was afraid. Why does God tell you that? Because we struggle with fear. Can I get a witness in the house? I'll say it for you. Hallelujah. One of the things that I didn't want to do ministry, because I'm like, Lord, what if somebody asked me a question that I don't know? You know, and I'm thinking like, now, if they ask me a question I don't know, I just say, I don't know. You don't know everything, right? But those are some of the questions. Well, what if this? What if that? Man, fear can stop you from moving forward. So don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God, when you've got favor with God, it's you don't have to fear because he's with you. He goes with you. He's for you. And then she asks another question. She says, Mary asks a question to the angel. She says, but how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. I do know a little bit about the birds and bees, and I know that you don't get pregnant unless something happens. And we won't go any deeper. Hallelujah. She says, I am a virgin. It takes a man to get pregnant in this situation. And then she begins to wonder how it's going to take place. Can I let you know that even with us, we struggle when God gives us something to do. We struggle with the hows and the whens and how it's going to happen and who's going to get it, where we get the money from, all this stuff. And you know that kind of bothers God. Are y'all with me today? Man, God has just called me to do another work, you know, to do something else. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I hate to say it like this, but I don't always want to hear God because he's got something for me to do. And sometimes I have to say, God, okay, your will, I give, because sometimes you just want to be kicking it and chilling, doing your own thing. Am I by myself? But then you come to this place and you say, okay, God, I don't understand, but I'm willing to yield to your will. So you do what he says even when you don't understand. And then when you, just like recently, when God says, I want you to take care of this particular thing, and I didn't know that someone was praying for this. So as I yielded to this and got together, they said, I've been praying for this, and this is my place. So I want you to know it's not only about you, but God is raising you so you can help somebody else. Do you all believe that? What the book of Hebrews 3 and 15 says this. It says, if you hear God speak today, and I believe he's speaking today, don't be what? Stubborn. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn like those who rebel. In other words, stubbornness is as rebellion unto God. It's like rebellion when you say, when God says, I want you to come, you say, I ain't coming. When God says, I want you to submit, I wish I would. God says, pray, I wish. I mean, that's just strong. That's a strong rebellion. Follow this. And I say it like this because there are those that act in a stubborn way. They don't even know they're being stubborn. But let me just share this illustration. I've got 5 grandchildren. They are such a blessing. And 3 of them are about 2 years old. 3 of them are about 2. And there's something about 2-year-olds that is consistent with almost all teenagers. Not teenagers. Yeah, them too. Hallelujah. But 2-year-olds, they have this thing when you ask them something, you know, they're gonna look at you, and once they figure out what no means, that's going to be a major part of their vocabulary. Say, come here. No. Give me that pacifier. No. I mean, it's whatever you say. Share with them. No. And I mean, I got one that will look at you with an attitude. I mean, with an attitude. She'll just snatch back. No. I mean, letting you know, don't mess with me. She's going to be a good one for the kingdom. I already know. I believe it's the same thing when it comes to the body of Christ, that when God says, you know, give me that pacifier because you've been sucking on the thing too long. That, no. Said, now I want to use you in a way, and now it's time for you to share with somebody else. No! I mean, grown folks. Saved, sanctified, anointed folks. It don't go my way. Well, why don't you do it God's way? No! The Bible says, don't be stubborn like those who rebelled. Why does he call them those who rebel? Understand, they never followed this. He was talking about the children of Israel. They never did enter God's rest, but died in the wilderness. They never entered God's rest. Why? Because they did not submit to what God. Can I let you know, folks? As long as you're rebelling against God, you will never get rest. You will try to go this way and go that way, and you'll try to get satisfaction from this person and from that person, and you'll buy new outfits, you'll get a new car, you'll get a bigger house, and they'll give you a promotion on the job, but it still won't satisfy you, because the only thing that'll satisfy you is God and his peace on the inside. Somebody give him a praise in this house. You'll never enter his
rest. Thank you, God. Can I just bring this last point home? I think it's the one we'll end on, but it's this, is that, you know, well, it's not the last one. Two more. Y'all was ready to wrap your Bibles up. Faith opportunities sometimes seem impossible. They seem impossible, but with God, help me out. He said one more time, faith opportunities, you know, God says, I want you to do this. We said, wow, that's big, God. And it seems impossible. And I didn't get a chance to get around to this for some of you today because God has put some things in some of your hearts, even the teenagers and even some adults as well. And he's put in your hearts, and I'm calling this thing forth because so much depends upon your yes to God. And what if the surgeons that learned to do microscopic surgery had said, you know, it'll never be possible, this will never take place, or those brain surgeons, or those that came up with Facebook or YouTube, or somebody's thinking and God says, I'm going to show you this, and somebody has said, it's possible. Are you following me today? You know, someone has to think big enough to say, you know, I know there's a challenge in some of the foreign countries that they're struggling with food, but here's a way. God is speaking to me. And I know it's a far-fetched idea, but because faith opportunities sometimes seem what? But with God, what? Do you hear what I'm saying? We've got to stir and spur that thing that's on the inside of you to say, yeah, with God, all things are possible. Glory to the name of God. I believe that in here that there are dreams and visions that God has spoken to you. And the thing about it is we have to rise up and watch the very power of God move in our and say, God, yeah, your will be done on the inside of us. I wish I had been encouraged as a young person to think big when God speaks to you. Say, you know, is it possible? They used to think the world was flat. Faith opportunities sometimes seem what? But with God, we've got to reach people in the schools, the colleges, our high schools, our neighborhoods. We've got to reach people in the government because they seem like they've lost their mind. Can I just preach this? And God might burst something on the inside of you, and faith opportunities sometimes seem what? But with God, help me out. Do you really believe that? Somebody give God a shout in this house. Here's what God's word says. The angel was talking to her. He says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I remember that Jesus was listening to Jairus and some of the people that were giving him wisdom and some not so good wisdom. And he overheard them and he says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With that statement, I want you to think about this. When faith opportunities come, and this is my last point, for real. When faith opportunities come, I want you just to say yes. You say, Pastor, that's too simple. Who said it was hard? When God says, I want to do something in you, instead you say, well, how can I figure it out? I don't understand. They ain't going to get it. God, stop all that. Just say what?
Yes.
Just say yes. How many of us know that sometimes we grapple over things too much? We try to figure it out. You know, we try to figure, well, how is this going to work? Who's going to go with it? All that stuff, you know, God has already worked out. Our responsibility is to say, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Luke 1:38 says this. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That's why I say I am who God says I am. Help me out. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says. That means everything
you have said about me is what? You said that I'm blessed and highly favored. Guess what? Guess what? I'm blessed and highly favored. You said I am the head and not the tail. Help me out. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you all believe that? I am forgiven. I am anointed. I am chosen. I'm a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that I might show forth praises of him who brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. I give God praise. Somebody, if you can relate to that, just go on and give him a praise right where you are. The Bible says everything, not just part of it, but everything you have said about me comes true. Can I just ask, what has God said about you? And then the Bible says, and then the angel left her. The angel departed. Why did the angel depart? Because you finally got it. Can I let you know that your angel is going to still be in your bedroom talking to you until you get it? The preacher is still going to be sharing a message about surrender until you get it. God's going to be trying to get your attention. You can run. You can try to hang out. You can try to get drunk as a skunk. But he's still going to be there because he loves you. And the angel will not depart until you say yes. Would you stand on your feet as we pray? And I know it's can be challenging for some because you struggle with the whole yes thing, but can I just give you a reason to say yes? Is it okay? There's a reason to say yes. Why? Because your God moment or your faith opportunity will open doors for God's best in your life and in others' lives. Every time I've ever said yes to God, it always ends up right. Can I get a witness in this house? When I do it God's way, it makes a difference. Hallelujah. Some of you place right now, don't go on your feelings. I don't feel like forgiving. When you say yes, God says, I want you to forgive him. Yes, Lord. I want you to open up your mouth. In fact, one time God told me, he says, I want you to call your sons and I want you to have them all pray every week together. And I'm going to do a work in the family with the men. And I said, okay, God, I know, I think this is your voice. I called him and said, hey, man. Deion said, I'm good. And Alex said, okay, Dad, you know. Corbin said, well, okay. We got to praying on the phone and God began to touch our hearts, knit us together. We began to rise up as men. Change begins to take place, but it starts with a yes. I'm moving on. I got 1 minute and I'm done. 2 preacher minutes. Check this out. Bishop Mason was my first bishop in the Church of God in Christ, and what an amazing man. But he wrote a song, and it was that's impacted the world. It started off when God began to deal with him at a young age, and he finally said that he lifted his hands to God and said, yes, Lord. And he said, your will be done. And can I let you know, folks, that when you get to that place where God has arrested you and you no longer resist, but you say, yes, Lord, all types of things begin to happen. I mean, blessings begin to flow on you. Doors begin to open. Ways begin to be made. Why don't we just shout yes in the house? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let us bless him all over the house.